The first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through 34. God gave Solomon wisdom and a very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, and greater than all of the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan, the Ezraphite, wiser than Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. From all the nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. The second reading is from James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Today's gospel is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. I would invite any children to come forward. Our children's sermon here. Morning. Come on up here. You can stand right up over here. That way people can see. Don't want to block. All right. We got a candle today, and I got a balloon. And we're going to do a little experiment here. Find a lighter. I got one in my pocket somewhere. There we go. Alrighty. So we're going to light up the old candle here. You ever read anywhere or heard that you're supposed to be a light to the world? Yeah, we got to let our lights shine too. Let them just blaze, okay? They're representing God. Okay, so we got a balloon here. We're going to blow it up. And then I'm going to hold the balloon over the candle. Right up to the flame. What do you think is going to happen? Exactly, yeah, yeah. What do you think is going to happen when I hold this into the flame? It's going to pop, huh? It's going to make a big noise? Yeah. Think so? You want to cover your ears? Here we go. Let's find out. Let's see. You made a hypothesis. Let's test it with an experiment here and see what happens, okay? We'll see if we can create a theory from it. Okay, here we go. Suspense. Building. Whoa, there it went. It did pop. You think that's funny? Okay. And it blew out the candle, too. Exactly. Released pressure that blew it out right on. Okay. Well, you were right on in your hypothesis there. That worked out perfectly. Very nice. You'd be a good scientist someday. You're going to like science class. Okay. Here I got another balloon, another red balloon. But here, shake that balloon. What? Water in it. You want to shake the balloon? Shake it. There's water in it, huh? You want to verify that? There's water in it. Okay, so I'm going to hold this over there. Why are you backing up? He's smart, isn't he? He's smart, yeah. Because what's going to happen? It's going to spray water everywhere. Okay, he's getting way back. Okay, well, let's find out. Again, the people in the front row should have goggles on or something. I guess that's, yeah. Here we go. I'm going to get right down here, and I'm going to hold it right into the flame. It's touching it. Yeah. You want to get a close look? Sure enough, it is. But it's not burning through. See, it left carbon on there, but it didn't burn through. You're brave. Or crazy. A little bit of both. No, okay. All right. Yeah? What's up with that? Where I do it where the water's not, then it's going to make a mess. But if I do it where the water is, it turns out that all the heat is transferred from the balloon into the water. The water takes in the heat, so the balloon can never reach its melting point. You could even boil water like that. So this is sort of like us. If we're filled with the right stuff, we can withstand the heat. If we got the Holy Spirit in us, we can withstand the heat no problem. And with Jesus in it, Jesus took the heat for us on the cross. He took the heat for us. It passes right through us and into him. So it's sort of cool. You can hold this, like I say, just keep on holding it. As long as the water's right there, it's not going to burn through. The water cools the balloon and takes the heat for us. All right. That's pretty neat.
What if the fire was like a little bigger?
The fire was a little bigger, this could still work. If it got really big, it may not work real well. But anyway, pretty neat demonstration there, huh? Okay, well, let's just pray here real quick. Let's just thank God. Lord, we thank you for these kids, and we thank you that you take the heat for us, Jesus, that through you we can do all things. And God, we ask that you would fill us, fill these kids, and fill everybody here with your Spirit, Lord, that we'd be filled with the right things, and we would not burst, Lord, but that we would stand firm for you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You kids can go with Linda then, Children's Church, and learn something. As I've been intern here this summer, children's sermons are probably one of my favorite things, I'll guarantee you. It's just so fun to work with them. Love it. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are always there for us, and you are always there within us, protecting us. Lord, and giving us wisdom when we ask for it and when we need it. So, Lord, fill us with wisdom and fill us with your Spirit this day and every day as we go forth in your name as your people. Amen. The readings that Steph shared with us this morning, as well as the gospel, all talk about wisdom. And when we try to picture wisdom, maybe you come up with that classic cartoon or humor image where this guy's crawling up this mountain, just an arduous climb over rocky crags, and finally getting up there, and there's an old guy sitting there in a robe and a beard, and he asks him some question that he just wants the answer to, and perhaps doesn't get the answer he expects, right? Maybe we think of wisdom in that way, as something that humans possess. And there is indeed human wisdom, but there's also godly wisdom. And James then sets forth the difference between these two today. The gray-haired man with a long beard representing wisdom, that does make some sense, because wisdom does come largely through experience. If you see people that have been around a little while, they have earned the wisdom through life experiences. Looking out here, there's a few out here that have some gray hair, and they have built up some wisdom, okay? And we need to draw on that. Instead, we choose to go out and try to learn things the hard way. I know I'm really guilty of that one, okay? I have to go out and even repeat my mistakes sometimes, when I could just simply ask someone, or ask God better yet, and he will give us godly wisdom. So with the elders, we do need to honor them, to respect them, to ask them, to learn from them, and maybe even learn from their mistakes so we don't have to make them ourselves. It's one of the values of history class, right? We can learn from other people's mistakes. And those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, right? As the saying goes. So we have to be willing to listen and to learn as well. And that goes sort of against our human nature, where we are sort of stubborn. That hasn't changed, right? In the Old Testament, you know, God calls people a stiff-necked people. Yeah, that they were stubborn and they weren't always willing to learn, weren't always willing to submit, weren't always willing to ask Him. When the answer is right there, if we ask God, that He is faithful to provide, that He will provide the wisdom we need, the answers we need, and tell us how to live our lives in a way that not only honors Him, but makes things easier if we would simply submit and follow. So we have to have that willingness. Wisdom is not just knowledge. You could say that it's the application of knowledge. It's how we use the knowledge. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't use it and put it into practice, you don't have the wisdom. The worldly wisdom is out there. People making choices. Wisdom really comes into the choices. And you've got people that have been wonderful in business. They have built empires. You know, in the 1800s, you had the railroad barons. And today you've got Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, people like that, that have built empires by making decisions, by watching the markets, by looking at trends and predicting the future. And they had a lot of wisdom in their choices. They don't just, oh, let's try this. No, they put a lot of thought into that. But what, again, they've got going on is worldly wisdom. You see the same thing at universities and colleges. You got these professors in their so-called ivory towers, and they got a whole lot of knowledge and a whole lot of book learning. But if they don't know how to apply it to everyday life, they don't have maybe the common sense part, or if they're not submitted to God, that knowledge and human wisdom, again, will not do a whole lot. We'd see that in the military as well. You had some old NCO or sergeant that had been in for probably decades, just some gruff old sergeant. And you got some new second lieutenant right out of college. A whole lot of book learning. Knows it all, but has never applied any of it. Who are you going to follow? The suggestion of the old sergeant or this brand new lieutenant who doesn't have any experience? All right? Wisdom, again, is linked with experience. The wisdom, again, human wisdom too, we can start to think that we know better than God. And therein lies danger. When we start to think we know better than God. Again, all this accumulated knowledge that we get from the people that have studied a lot of the universities and the like there can lead us down wrong roads. As individuals and as a nation. When we start following worldly wisdom and what the world defines as acceptable, what the world defines as true, what popular culture says is okay, we need to be examining that. If that's not aligned with God's word, we need to be submitting. We need to be following God. The other stuff may look attractive. It looks like, oh, that makes sense. Does God's wisdom always make sense to us? Are His ways our ways? No, His ways are what? Higher than our ways, right? And His wisdom is beyond our understanding. But that's where we need to submit. That's where we need to have faith. That's where we need to trust in His wisdom and trust in what He has given people to write down right here. This is what we need to be following. Not the worldly wisdom, not the ways of this world. By following this, people might think you're a little different. Well, that's okay. It tells us not to be conformed to the ways of this world. By following this, people may even sometimes put you down or pick on you, persecute you. Well, guess who said that we will be persecuted? Jesus. Furthermore, He said that blessed are you when people persecute you for My name and following Me. So, if those people are putting you down, they're actually blessing you. You could even tell them thank you. That may not always go over real well. But if you explain the reasoning behind it, though, you can just have that satisfaction then that if you are following this, if you are following truth, doesn't matter what they do, doesn't matter what they say, are you going to answer to God or are you going to answer to man? Okay, something that each one of us needs to think about. So again, on the individual level, but also as a nation, this nation founded on Christian principles. It's not a theocracy. We do not have, you know, the Bible as our ultimate source of law. We'd all be dead if that was the case. You read about the Old Testament laws and things like that. Yeah, we're definitely all guilty. Okay. But our nation was founded on Christian principles with the ideals that are in here, with the spirit of the word. It was founded on that. And as it starts to drift from that, we need to do what we can to take it back as well. just sitting silently and following God, it works, but we need to be actively out there and be a voice as well. Be taking action, right? Not just always defense. Like I've said before, in faith, Christians, you know, God will defend us against the powers of evil. But sometimes we need to be going on the attack. We need to be advancing the kingdom. We need to be promoting what is right. If we're just static, we're not growing. We need to be out there, actively doing it, living out our faith, bringing it to others, bringing them the hope, bringing them the salvation that is found in here. That's part of our job as Christians, to go therefore, right? Making disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So again, following God's wisdom is how we can do this. 1 Corinthians backs us up, telling us that the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. Again, we got this wisdom that we've accumulated, this knowledge. But again, God's is much, much higher. His ways are higher. His ways are better. Paul addresses this a number of times in 1 Corinthians, right at the beginning of his first letter to the Corinthians. He talks about this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. For the rest of the world, it doesn't make sense, right? God's wisdom. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. God letting us know. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? It's sort of like back in Job when God was putting him in his place, saying, were you there when I created all this? Have you seen where I have stored up the winds and the hailstorms and things like that? No, we haven't. He is much higher. Has God not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Human wisdom that we've accumulated, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. We cannot find him through humanly wisdom. We can pursue all this human learning and knowledge, and we're not going to find God in that. We have to find him by searching for him in the heart, by asking him to enter in. And God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Now, there is no foolishness and there is no weakness in God. But even if he had that, it would be much higher than our highest attainments. So again, God really putting things in perspective here through Paul as he's writing to the people in Corinth. So we need to seek instead godly wisdom. We've addressed all this human wisdom, but what is godly wisdom? And where does it start? Anybody remember from Psalms? What's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, having that respect for him, submitting to him. We're not talking fear like, oh, I'm afraid of you. No, it's the ultimate respect of God and who he is. Bowing down before him. That's what we're talking about. And that's where it just starts. That's the beginning of godly wisdom. And then James defines it, as Steph read today, in 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Those words can pretty much be used to describe Jesus. Peace-loving, considerate, submissive to the Father, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, treating everybody equally, and sincere, doing it for the right reasons. Jesus was full of godly wisdom. It told us that in the gospel too, right? As he grew, he was filled with wisdom. Not human wisdom, but godly wisdom. Godly wisdom that allows us to make wise choices. When Solomon, in his dream, was given the chance to ask for anything. He could ask for all kinds of worldly riches, recognition, power for the kingdom. He was about to take the throne there. I had taken it just very recently, about 20 years of age, about 20 years old. And he asks for wisdom, discernment, that he may govern well, that he may lead people in God's ways. when I was 20 years old, if I could ask for whatever I wanted. Yeah, okay. Any of you that have been young males about 20 years old and here before? Yeah, or maybe even females. I don't know that we would have been asking for wisdom, but that's what Solomon did. He asked for wisdom, for godly wisdom, that he may discern well, that he may govern well, that he may lead his people in the right way. This is not a typical 20-year-old male thinking. And God gave him that wisdom. God gave Solomon that wisdom so that he could carry those things out. And it wasn't for himself. It wasn't for building himself up. It was for his people, that they would honor God. When Jill and I were studying wisdom earlier this week, we started looking at where wisdom is mentioned in the Bible, and as you would imagine, it's mentioned many, many times in Proverbs and Psalms and Ecclesiastes. There's five books of wisdom, as they call them. You got the Psalms, Song of Solomon, the Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, and Job. Those are the five books of wisdom. And the Jews really valued wisdom, that they would make wise choices. And again, godly wisdom, so much higher than earthly wisdom. We can attain earthly wisdom through age and experience, but godly wisdom, this is something that is given from God. This is what Solomon was given in his early 20s so that he could make wise choices. He did not have gray hair at that point. Okay, he had not built up earthly wisdom, but God gave him godly wisdom. So anyway, the first time that wisdom was mentioned in the Bible is back in Genesis, Genesis 3. I'm going to page back there just very quickly here. We're in the Garden of Eden. And Eve's looking at the fruit of that tree. He goes, ooh. Serpent notices that, starts telling her, you know, if you eat of this stuff, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil, wanting to be like God. Ooh, even more attractive to humans, right? When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. So wisdom, first time it's mentioned right there, that this fruit was desirable for gaining wisdom. Wisdom, again, to be valued, to be sought after. But why was she desiring it? Was it so that she would lead her people well and govern others and take others into consideration, or was it for selfish reasons? Yeah, that four-letter word self again, followed by ish. Uh-huh. Yeah, quite the opposite again of Jesus, that he would benefit others and do good for others. And that's what Solomon was seeking it for too, right? The motive matters. Why they're seeking the wisdom. The wisdom of God should be sought by all, but the motive, how and why are we going to apply it? How are we going to use it? For the benefit of the people or to build ourselves up? That's the question that we all need to look at. And wisdom is also connected to humility. As it said in verse 13 today, who is wise, or I got to get to James, yes. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Wisdom creates humility, where we don't think we're all that. We're not building ourselves up, where we are being humble before God and available for him to use. Proverbs 11:2 backs it up, says, with humility comes wisdom. And that's interesting when you look at it, because in James it said here, humility comes from wisdom, so wisdom breeds humility. In Proverbs, with humility comes wisdom. So it works both ways here. Those two are inextricably linked, the humility and the wisdom. So our lives should show that as well, humble before God, letting him serve others through us. Proverbs mentions wisdom many times. It said it is more valuable than gold, and insight more valuable than silver. Two things that people desire. But God's people looking, instead of for gold and silver, for wisdom and insight. Proverbs, written largely by Solomon, again, on whose wisdom? God's wisdom, right? So that contains a whole lot of truth. And it's timeless. You read through those Proverbs written, you know, almost 3,000 years ago, do they still apply today? Absolutely. Again, read through the Proverbs. Make it part of your daily reading. Just take one proverb every day and meditate on it. So along with your other reading, if you're reading through the book of James or Luke or whatever you're doing, just grab one proverb every day. Sort of mark them off as you go. And think about that throughout the day and how it still applies to the world today. It's timeless. The Word of God is timeless, just like God Himself. And if you don't have wisdom, ask for it. James 1 told us that we should ask for wisdom. And when we ask that, we should believe. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously. Not just gives, but gives generously, abundantly, more than we need, to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave on the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. It goes on in more detail on that. We've already covered that a couple weeks ago. So ask for wisdom. And when you get it, use it for the good of others. The front of our bulletin today: for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Again, another proverb right there. Always, pretty much always just two lines, but with incredible depth. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Not of ours. He can speak through us, and that's wonderful when he does, all right? And it should be his word through us, not just what we think is right, not human understanding, not human wisdom, but God. Yield to him. Offer yourself up to him, that he may speak through you, that he may heal through you, that he may counsel others through you. So seek, follow, and apply godly wisdom, not just human wisdom. The type that Jesus was filled with from a young age. And those words that described, again, godly wisdom describing Jesus. It also said that he grew in God's grace, that God's grace was upon him. Grace, that's another whole sermon right there. Unmerited favor, something we don't earn, just the favor of God poured out on us and over us. Basically the opposite of karma. All right. This is unearned. It just is poured out by him and by his goodness. Jesus' wisdom was shown throughout his life. He was filled with wisdom from an early age. And later on, that wisdom would confound the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the scribes, the temple priests, the Sadducees. All these people that had the book learning. Okay, they had spent decades learning, studying God's word. And they, if they had the certificates back then, their walls would have been full of all these degrees that they had earned, right? Foolishness in God's sight. God's wisdom, higher. Those that have God's wisdom, making better choices and using it to help others. They were also amazed at his wisdom when he taught in his hometown. Isn't this Joseph's son? Aren't these his brothers here that are gathered with us? Where did this guy get all this wisdom? It wasn't from study. It wasn't from degrees. It was given to him by God, similar to Solomon. Godly wisdom that God gives when we ask. Finally, in closing, godly wisdom is also shown through Jesus' life. It's not only words that he spoke, but his whole life story does not show human wisdom. It shows godly wisdom. Would it be earthly wisdom to have the Savior born in a barn? The King of Kings born in a barn, is that earthly wisdom? No, it was godly wisdom. God had a plan in that. He could relate to the common man. For Jesus to live a common life. Earthly wisdom, if you're writing the script? No. But in godly wisdom, he shares in temptation. He's been there, done that. He loves us. He lived a life that we are living. Would it be earthly wisdom to have the King and the Savior tortured, beaten, and condemned? No. But in godly wisdom, he was taking the punishment for us. What we deserve, he took instead. Would it be earthly wisdom for the Savior, for the King, to die a shameful death? No. But by doing so, he paid the price and made it possible for us to be worthy to stand before God, for us to be redeemed, for us to be declared righteous, something we cannot earn on our own. His ways are higher. His ways are better. Seek His wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Amen.